When a family sees a member go to their job as a police officer, for example, they say a prayer every day that their loved one will come home safe. Have we gotten to that point with our kids when we send them off to school every morning? As the school shootings and other types of violence continue to increase, have you assumed, especially given the laws that have been put into place, that schools are the safe zones that they need to be? Well, that assumption could be a big mistake, as my first guest today certainly found out. Here to talk about what happened at a school his child attends and why it was so troubling is the CEO of Objective Entertainment and president of Star Publishing, Jared Weisfeld. How are you today, sir?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for stepping forward and giving voice to what is, as the listener is about to find out, a horrific situation. Objective Entertainment website, by the way, is objectivent.com. This involves the Berkeley Heights School District. And, you know, as I just said, you send your kid off to school hoping that the school's got it together. State law, especially in New Jersey, they have to have risk assessment teams. They have to have even just bare minimum requirements of school security. Yet this school just didn't seem to know what to do or be willing to do. Talk about what happened.
So a child brought a weapon to school. The weapon was confiscated. I know the school calls it an item, but it was a box cutter. So the child brings a box cutter to school in the morning. Later on that afternoon, he's poking a girl in the back with a pencil. He then, another student said, hey, man, will you just stop? And the kid wrote on a piece of paper, bucket list killed the two students, right? One of the, so they found the note the next day, the bucket list note. But then it turns out what they hid from the parents was, and the parents found out from a police report, I guess, was that the kid was searching on his Chromebook, his school-issued Chromebook, not killing people in search. So all this happened in the same day, and the child remained in school. So the parents of one of the victims wasn't notified until about 5 days later. And the only reason why they contacted the school was because their child came home and told them that he was on a kill list. So the school just kind of brushed it under the rug, like every school does. And so I wasn't going to take it. So I spoke at a board meeting and in a private meeting with the police chief, who's awesome. So the police aren't allowed to go into schools without, like, the school's permission. So it's kind of funny because when, you know, when the electricity goes out in the school, you call an electrician. The plumber has an issue in the school. Plumbing has an issue in the school. You call a plumber. There's an incident in the school involving school safety. Who you call? They don't call anybody. They want no synergy with the police. Our police chief and his detectives are phenomenal. And it's quite alarming that they can't just go into the school to protect the children. And so I spoke at a board meeting. The superintendent, came out with a statement in a local paper, Tap Into Berkeley Heights, wrote an article on it, and she gave a statement. I gave a rebuttal statement, and I had two experts that were in the meeting with me, like a private meeting with the police chief, the school board president, the superintendent. And they told them what they could use. They could use an app, Wayne Black, who was Rumsfeld's former personal detail, and Hardin schools, Hardin schools across the country. He told them that you could either get an $18 walkie-talkie or, you can get a really inexpensive app. So he got off, and I was speaking to the school district, and the police as well were there, and I said, well, do you guys have the money? And they said, no, we don't have the money. I was like, it's not in your budget? They said, no, but your budget is $60 million. How could you not find, a couple thousand dollars? So I said, you know what? I'll tell you what I'll do is I will donate the app or the walkie-talkies personally for we picked the school that had the most issues for that school and pilot program. And if it works, you roll it out to every school. In our district, and I'll pay for it personally if you guys don't have the money. And so I put my money where my mouth was, right? Because school security is very important.
Sure.
So I went back to them about a week later. I said, you know what? The walkie-talkies are a bad idea because the teachers aren't going to use them. They're going to fall. They're going to break, right? It's going to be a disaster. So I said, let's go with the app, which was more expensive. And they actually turned me down because they said I was not being equitable because it was only available in one school and not all the schools in the district. And my point to them was, it's a pilot program. You try it in one place. If it works, you roll it out. I even went one step further. I said, you know what? If you come back to me and you say that the app is working, but you guys can't afford to renew the app, but if the app's taken away, right, like security is going to be a problem. And I said, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll pay for the app for 2 more years if you think it's going to keep kids safe until you guys get your stuff together. So I don't know what else I could have offered, but I was declined because of equity, which is bizarre.
Well, now, so, this falls into the lap of the superintendent of Berkeley Heights, Dr. Melissa Varley. How long has she been on the job? What's her deal, that, as best as you know?
She's been there for maybe 2.5 years.
Because she seems to downplay everything that comes up regarding this story.
Yeah, she does. And, you know, the item that she calls a box cutter, an item, is problematic because, like, it was a weapon. A box cutter, you know, was used on 9/11 and is the weapon of choice. And just think about this. 50 million kids go to school every day. 3 million people pass through TSA to go on airplanes. Why is it that there's more security at airports for 3 million people than in schools across the country, right? Think about that for a second. It's kind of crazy that, and by the way, the same people that don't want school security are the ones that wouldn't get on an airplane if they didn't have metal detectors at TSA. So I don't know. I could tell you that she was so upset with that article that she leaked my personal emails to the press, unredacted. And then she even created one that was an email that she purported to have sent to me that she never did. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you about that. The only thing I could tell you is that she leaked my personal emails, unredacted. It's problematic. And I don't know, the Board of Education, I mean, she works for the Board of Education, right? I'm not a member of the Board of Education. This is their responsibility, not mine. So, you know, they need to step up and do their jobs.
Here's the thing that piqued my curiosity, not getting into want to reveal names or anything, but is the parent or the parents of this child who brought the box cutter names of any significance, of any power, of any influence. That's why the kid's getting the white glove treatment here.
Not that I know of, but there was a meeting where the parents had a meeting with the superintendent, the principal, and the police chief was there, as well as a board member. And at that meeting, they downplayed the incident. The police didn't. They downplayed the incident. And so the parents took their children out of school because when they called on Monday, they were informed that the child was still in school with their children. And they said, well, why don't you just move the other child's class? And I said, oh, we're never going to do that, but we'll move your kid's class. And the person was like, yeah, that's never going to happen. And so in that meeting, they once again said that, you know, they would offer to move the victim's classes, and the other child would be able to remain in class. And I don't know what happened, but it took roughly 7-8 days before that kid was removed from school, not because of the school district, but because of the Berkeley Heights Police Department had done an investigation. And you know, and I don't know. I just got a call from the superintendent just saying that the BHPD did an investigation and new information came to light, and that child hasn't been in school. When I inquired with the superintendent, because my person whose kid it is doesn't want to be out there in the public. So I'm doing it because I think it's an important story.
Oh, without a doubt, we're talking with Jared Weisfeld, whose child had, as you heard, a threatening, very extreme threatening situation at their school.
Well, it wasn't my child. It was another student at the school, yeah.
It was in your child is part of that school the school student body in Berkeley High School District. And Jared's also the CEO of Objective Entertainment, president of Star Publishing. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And this isn't the only instance. They've done drills where doors aren't locked. It just seems like there just is a lack of an understanding of why school security has to be a priority within this school. And how do you bring someone to in the seat of responsibility to the responsibility that they should be demonstrating right now?
So the state requires every school to do a lockdown drill once a month, right? But they don't require that school to report whether or not a lockdown drill was successful or not. So if a lockdown drill is unsuccessful, they don't have to report it to the state. All they have to do is say that we did the drill. That's all they have to do is we did the drill and we completed it. And then they have to notify the parents we did a drill and we completed it. So nobody really knows that the drill failed at a state level because, you know, they just don't. They know it failed now because I said it failed at a board meeting. And so I agree with you 100%. What's the point of doing a lockdown drill? If one door is unlocked, to me, that's a failure.
Uvalde, Texas springs to mind.
Yes. So it's a failure. So you have to, you know, you have to hold people accountable. And the problem is that people have tenure. The only person that doesn't have tenure is the superintendent. So the question is, does the Board of Education want to do something about it? Me as a parent, like, I can only bring awareness to it. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's up to the Board of Education. If the Board of Education is fine with a superintendent leaking my emails and, like, literally not redacting anything and creating an email that was never sent to me, if they're okay with that, if they're okay with not notifying parents that their child was on a kill list or that a kid brought a weapon to school, that their child had to come home and tell them. And if the school's okay not notifying the parents that it said on the Google Chromebook, he wrote not killing people, I don't understand how that's okay, right? There's a lot of kids that go to that school, and parents should be informed. It's the parents' right to decide whether or not their children are safe, not the school's right. So full transparency needs to happen so that parents can make up their own decisions to protect their children. If you hide that, it's Uvalde. I mean, it's Loudoun County 2.0, because all you're doing is you're hiding what parents should know, and it's not right. And the school never notified any of the parents like that, the kids that go to the school. So that's why I spoke up, because I asked them to notify, and they said no, it wasn't necessary, and so I did it myself.
For you listening,
I'm not afraid of anybody.
When it comes to the safety of your child, and not even your child, just the safety of children, and what's supposed to be a secure location,
yeah.
And there was just this lack of any logical thought, any care, any responsibility. For you listening, this is why going to a school meeting, a school board meeting, is really vital, as well as talk to your kid about what happened, anything happened at school today. And this is how you find out the truth, because certainly, as you heard from Jared, there are way too many people in school leadership who want to cover their butts and keep their jobs and keep their benefits and keep their pensions and not do their jobs and endanger kids for no logical, realistic reason. But if you can be inspired from what Jared Weisfeld has done, and when you find out that something is going wrong, to speak up and not shut up, because that is just not going to change anything when you shut up. You put the heat under the fire, under the butts of the people who certainly deserve it. And in this case, the superintendent of the Berkeley Heights School District certainly deserves it. Jared, your coming forward, I think, is going to make a difference. And I think when other people see that someone can successfully come forward and, if nothing else, bring attention to a story that too many others are trying to hide, it becomes the momentum factor swings to the side of what's right and what's safe. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.